Welcome to myself, Max McGillivray from Beanstalk. Subject today, very, very important one. There is a significant labour issue within fresh produce in the UK. Why? What are the solutions? And the headlines scream, fruit farming on brink of collapse as Brexit causes shortage of pickers. Applications for seasonal workers at one Kent-based company are down 90% in the last 2 years, and there are fears for the future. A shortage of workers is driving up wages. Are we entering a new economic era? Brexit leads to a 90% drop in the number of foreign workers coming to the UK to work on farms in the summer. So everyone, in the UK over the last 4 weeks, labour supply has got significantly worse. Some farms have had to raise wages by over 60% to nearly £20 per hour for packhouse staff, and in addition, pay them up to £20 just to turn up for work. Businesses bringing products in from overseas are suffering the same issues and are now potentially looking to pack at their international source to supply their UK markets or just not supply the UK ever again. This, of course, is totally unsustainable. Why are we in this situation and what is the potential range of short and long-term solutions? Today, we've called upon three leading industry experts to give us their views on the ground, why we're in this situation and what the potential solutions are. So we're just going to run around our three guests just to get an understanding as to who they are and who they represent. So no particular order. Mark Crawford, please introduce yourself and who you're aligned to.
Good morning. I'm Mark Crawford. I'm sales director for Blue Skies. We are a prepared fruit supplier to the UK and European retailers. Our production bases in South Africa, Ghana, Benin, Brazil, Egypt, and the UK. So we see this from more of a sort of factory orientated than a farm orientated point of view.
And Mark, just quickly, in case I forget, just tell us about your ice cream.
We also do fantastic dairy-free ice cream, which is currently available in selected Waitrose and Amazon online, which we produce in Ghana using fresh coconut milk. And if anyone has ever drunk proper fresh coconut milk, it is the most gorgeous thing, but it doesn't survive the supply chain, so you can't have it. You have to have it frozen.
Excellent. Mark, thank you. Derek, I think the last time we properly met up was 3 years ago when I was thumping my way through Africa in your amazing West Africa farming operation. Derek, who are you? Tell us all about you, please.
Okay, morning, everyone. So I'm Derek Wilkinson. I'm managing director of a business called Sandfields Farms, which is with its main base in the West Midlands. But I'm also overseeing farming operations in Kent and, as Max has just mentioned, a farming operation in Senegal. We're growing salads and vegetables and packing for the retailers, and we're part of the G's group. So total as G's, we've got over 3,000 seasonal workers. So this is particularly relevant to us, this conversation this morning.
And Derek, I didn't tell you, I've got Beverly Dixon, our Group HR Director for G's, on a broadcast later today. We're talking about mentoring and coaching, because one thing that all of you within the G's group, within the Sandfields group, within West Africa Farms, is your training and development. If you're not aware of the G's group, have a look at their website. They are one of the industry leaders in fresh produce. I'm fantastic at looking after their staff. And last but not least, he loves me calling him this, the poster boy of fresh produce, Tim O'Malley. Introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Max. Tim O'Malley, Managing Director of Nationwide Produce. What do we do? We do everything in fresh produce. We grow it, we grade it, we trade it, we import, we export. So we farm ourselves, but probably the biggest thing we do is import. We're very similar to the UK. In the UK, we import about two-thirds of our produce, and as Nationwide, we import about two-thirds of our produce. So we have businesses in two in Holland, one in Spain, one in Belfast, one in Dublin, and six on the UK mainland. Turnover about 140 million. And like I said, do everything in produce.
The Daily Mail quoted you last week as saying you were one of the biggest fresh produce companies in the world.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, absolute nonsense, but you know, I'll run with it.
We have to give credit to Tim. Tim and I, over the years, we've done numerous interviews. What's great about Tim, as with Mark, as with Derek, is that Tim is very eloquent at stating what the problem is. And that's why he's been picked up by the likes of the Daily Mail, the FT, iNews. What was the other one, Tim, that you mentioned earlier in the green room?
GMB.
Because Tim is a very good lightning rod as to what is happening in the sector. That's why we're very, very keen, very, very blessed to get him on. So, gentlemen, significant labour issues within Fresh Produce UK or International UK if you bring your product in. Mark, let's start with you. What are you seeing at the moment? What is the problem?
To be honest, there's chaos through the whole supply chain. I'll give you one example. Is we were due to get some packaging for our prepared fruit delivered on Sunday evening. It didn't arrive, and we're going to be shorting, well, hopefully not, but there's potential of shorting retailers this week. The reason why is that the packaging company that was making these pots could only run 7 of their 9 lines over the weekend because they couldn't get labour. There isn't labour out there who's prepared to work in factories. And that's the nub of the problem, is that just are not people who are prepared or skilled enough to work in our food industry right now.
Okay, and Mark, compounded with what Tim and I picked up with our logistics broadcast last week, the issues with haulage, a week ago, Tim, help me with this one. There was 100 missed loads of fresh produce. 100 loads of fresh produce.
That was milk.
We're not picked up because they couldn't get wheels underneath it. But Tim, we subsequently picked up about the dumping of fresh produce in the Lincolnshire area because, again, they couldn't get wheels under it. So there's this double issue, this double whammy, this perfect storm of no freight and no labour. Derek, what are you seeing, please?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag depending where we are in the country. We're actual field harvesting stuff. We're just about keeping our heads above water, but we've got no slack in the system. We plan to have 75% returnees, which were from within the EU, and we're running at just over 60%. And the reason for the shortfall is twofold, really. One is that people are still nervous at coming to the UK because of COVID or travel restrictions. But one of the big problems out of Bulgaria and Romania now is the fact that new people, which need to come under the seasonal workers permit scheme, there aren't the offices or the facilities there to process the applications.
Wow.
And it's just very difficult. So therefore, where we've had returnees and they like to bring their families who might be coming for the first time, who need to register as a seasonal worker, they haven't been able to. So then it's influenced their other family members. So we've lost people that way. What we're particularly struggling with is now the next tier up. So tractor drivers, coach drivers, and we're just seeing it becoming very competitive where we're losing people or being headhunted. There's jobs everywhere for people, for drivers, for fabricators, etc. So it's just becoming very competitive. We've just had to put on our farm in Kent, we've just had to put our rates up mid-season to try and hold people and attract new people in. It's just becoming very difficult.
Derek, thank you. Tim, what are you saying, please?
Sorry, Derek, when you said not able to process the paperwork, Bulgaria and Romania, is that like the extra paperwork required because of Brexit or?
No, this is, so now for new people to come in from anywhere, the only way we can bring people in is under the seasonal workers permit scheme. That's a fairly straightforward process in Ukraine where there's lots of offices open to process the visas. So that's working extremely well. In Bulgaria and Romania, there are very few places where they can process them. The processing of visas has been subbed out to a company by the government, to a company called TLS, from memory, I believe it is. And they only have people on the ground periodically and can only process so many in a day. It's expensive. People are having to travel a long way to get that visa processed. So it's quote from Concordia the other week, you know, it's almost written off Bulgaria this year for recruiting people under the seasonal workers permit scheme. And of course, that's going to have a knock-on effect that, you know, people suddenly gets in their heads, they can't go to the UK, they will go and set themselves up elsewhere with jobs for the summer, and you know, it'll be very difficult to attract them back next year, even if the government's got their ducks in a row for processing visas.
Tim, what are you seeing, please?
Every day you're hearing a different story, and it's just a labour shortage right across the card, and we're you know, in our pack outs in Lincolnshire, we don't employ as many people as Derek, probably about 90 to 100. We're constantly short there. I tell you one thing, we speak to a lot of packers in the industry, and one thing that you're hearing is that there's no way they can take on any extra business. One packer up in Lancashire, a salad packer, said to me the other day, do you know, Tim, we just extended our pack house, we've got cold storage, we've got extra loading bays. In other words, we've got all the equipment and machinery, and yet if a customer came to me and said, would you like this £5 million contract, even if it was profitable, I would have to turn it down. I simply haven't got the labour. On Sunday, after a football weekend, or, you know, we've had this hot weekend, and he just knew that on Sunday he was going to get a lot of people not turn up due to the England game and the hot weather and one thing or another. But yeah, 40 didn't turn up. But he said, you know, the thing is, on Monday when they do turn up with a hangover, I still won't have a go at them because I'll be eternally grateful for them turning up. You know, you don't say a word against them because you are desperate, absolutely desperate for staff. And I think Mark alluded to it before, that he was saying that there's a lot of competitors ringing each other. In normal times, it'd be ripping out each other's throats to get supermarket business. And at the moment, we're in this bizarre position that competitors are ringing each other saying, can you take some of my business off my hands, please? Can you take some of my supermarket business or food service business off my hands? Because I simply can't cope. I haven't got the labour to cope with it. Lorry drivers is probably the single biggest issue, because ultimately you can grow it, grade it, pack it, do what you like. But if you can't do that last leg of the journey, then we're all in trouble. And there are extreme cases where perfectly good packed and graded produce has gone to landfill as a result of it just sat at a depot, either rejected and waiting to be picked up and nobody will pick it up, or sat in a pack house and it keeps getting rolled and nobody picks it up. At the moment, there's this thing going on with the big haulage firms where they're rolling. They call it rolling loads, that every day they're ringing their customers in the afternoon and saying that delivery for Tesco, Sainsbury's, Asda, whoever it is, and it's every supermarket, whatever they say, it's every supermarket. We can't do that today. We're going to have to roll it till tomorrow. And if you're lucky, it gets rolled 24 hours. If you're not lucky, it gets rolled 48. If you're really unlucky, it gets rolled 72. Now, if you've got prep gear like Mark's involved in, that's a serious issue, serious issue. If you're talking about onions or spuds, something with a longer shelf life, not such a serious issue. But what you are getting there is a knock-on effect, because you're bound to start seeing shortages on the shelves in the retailers. And obviously, you're bound to start seeing shorter shelf lives. Yeah, when that gear goes in and it was meant to go in on Sunday and it goes in on Monday or Tuesday instead, it's 24, 48 hours older. So we're getting an effect on shelf, and that probably leads to extra waste. There's a knock-on effect here. And lorry drivers, it's turning into the Wild West out there. Let me tell you a few stories. So we got a food service. We're stronger in food service than we are in retail. One of our food service customers was telling me, I can't believe it, I just put the phone down to our transport manager and he's telling me that our competitors are flagging down our lorry drivers in the street if they see them in London or wherever, and anywhere they can flag them down, they'll flag them down, they'll wind the window down, they'll give them a card and they'll say, if you come and join us, leave that competitor, come and join us, we'll give you a golden hello and we'll pay you more money. And then the lorry drivers are on a commission for recruiting from the competition. There was an even worse one the other day when one of our guys that we deal with on food service, his business has been not black and blue during the pandemic, as you'd expect. A family business that went down as much as 95%. So really, and he's had to borrow money, he's had to sell assets. But you know what? In fairness to him, he's kept going. And finally, it's coming back now. And I won't name names, but a big food service company put an advertising lorry at his gatehouse, at the entrance to where all his lorry drivers come in, just stuck it at his gatehouse saying, we'll pay you more money and we'll give you these benefits. And then a guy stood outside taking a picture with his delivery in the corner so we could put it up on social media. It's the Wild West. This is the sort of tricks that people are getting up to at the moment. He's getting pretty desperate.
And even at the other side as well, the more you would think organised side of it, we're seeing just, so we we had 48 hours notice from one of our hauliers to drop a customer completely. And they told us they were giving this to 21 suppliers, to one customer. We're given 48 hours notice that that's it. We're not going to deliver to their depots anymore.
Yeah.
Now, it's cost us thousands of pounds to get a dedicated truck that is carrying half a load to the depot. And we are that customer now for the next 2 or 3 months for us will be absolute break even. We're not going to lose money because we wouldn't. We'd stop delivery, but absolute break even because we were given 48 hours. And I heard last week of one huge retailer that lost an entire category because and it was a non-food category, because the haulier said, we have got to prioritize foodstuffs over non-food categories. And they dropped an entire category and gave them 3 days notice. It's just, and the downstream of that is that produce, those plants, are in the ground, ready for harvest, ready for picking, ready for presentation. So all of that whole sector is at threat from delisting and from just throwing it away, being plowed back into the ground.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can't say this is something we're going to solve in 3, 4, 5 weeks time.
Mark, I was going to just mention that. We've used this phrase that we gained from the government, from the upper echelons of the government, that their main concern is that we are but 4 missed meals from anarchy. So if the consumer misses 4 meals on the bounce, so there's then an issue. Derek, is this situation going to get much worse before it gets better?
I'm afraid I think it is, because I mean, if you just take the lorry driver's example, I'm not sure I'm not sure what the solution is, because clearly we can no longer go and recruit lorry drivers from the EU. They're not on the shortage occupation list. So therefore we've got to train drivers from scratch. The unemployment levels are still coming down. I've just seen this morning, they've just come down, just been announced. Four months on the run now, they've dropped well below 5% now, which is pretty low, actually. So, and obviously we've had 12 months of very little training of new lorry drivers with COVID. So you couple that with, it's a double whammy with the loss of access to the EU, and obviously clearly percentages of the EU lorry drivers that do go home every year. So something's going to have to change very quickly, and we're going to have to allow people to come from Eastern Europe and drive lorries. There's going to have to be a change in government policy. Otherwise, it's going to keep getting worse before it gets better. Well, it's not going to get better. I don't think it's going to get better. Personally, I don't think it's going to get better unless we allow more people in.
And that's the point, is I think it's now. It's not a future problem. And the only people that can solve this are the government. And the government have got to come away from their beaches in Cornwall and pay attention to what's going on in our industry. Because it will, after the last 18 months, when so many businesses have struggled, this has the potential for being business killer. And they need to make a decision right now, next week, this week. And personally, I don't care about the history and the politics of it, and I'm not going to throw Brexit and COVID around the place. I just want an answer. We need a solution by the end of this week so that we can be bringing in workers next week in order to deliver the food. We're just coming into the prime British summer produce season, and at this rate, it's going to be a write-off.
Okay.
That's
why I just want to emphasize the fact that this is one of the reasons why we set up this broadcast, to get this message out. Gentlemen, you've got a voice piece. You've got the ability to get your request, demand, suggestions out to the likes of government. Mark, you go first. What would you like to see? What do you need to see in the short term to fix this issue? Mark, you go first, please.
Well, it was interesting Derek was talking about the problems of getting the seasonal worker scheme visas sorted. But it's stuff like that that just they need to solve almost immediately and extend it to non-agricultural workers as well. We need new visa schemes instantly for lorry drivers, factory workers. we've got hundreds of people who have worked in British factories before who are struggling to come back into the country. Just put your political, historical rubbish aside, give us those visas, give us the workers, and do it tomorrow.
Derek, you're very, very well connected within the sector, upstream as well into government. What are you saying, or what are you looking to say?
Well, one of the challenges, you know, plus we've obviously been lobbying, we were lobbying government for the seasonal workers scheme since 2016, and finally got 30,000 permits for this year. But of course, you know, one of the standard government responses is that, you know, people voted for Brexit to get control of our borders. So, you know, I've heard that line millions of times. And then in the last 12 months, of course, you know, we've potentially seen unemployment going up, and we've been under pressure to employ more locally, which we're trying to do. I mean, we are working with the job centres. We've constantly got adverts running with job centres. We're working on various initiatives, seasonal worker apps, various other initiatives to encourage people into our sector, with very little uptake. I think, you know, unfortunately, to get government to change direction, we do need a crisis, and we're actually in that crisis now. And it's not, you know, we're talking about lots about lorry drivers. It's not just lorry drivers, it's all lots of our skilled people. I mean, we've got, similar to lorry drivers, we've got coach drivers. We transport all our staff to the fields using our own fleet of coaches. We need seasonal coach drivers for those with the right license requirements. And traditionally, a lot of those people have come from Bulgaria and Romania. And now, with the seasonal worker permits issues I've talked about, we can't get people from there. The people from the Ukraine don't have the right, their licenses aren't recognised here driving that class of vehicle. So we're running, you know, short on those people to do those roles. We've got to have a change in government policy to allow people to come from the traditional EU countries and to do these roles. And I don't see what problem, you know, if people have got a job offer, firm job offer, why do we not allow them in? Because they're helping our economy, they're paying taxes. It's just madness.
Yeah,
and we can't say we can solve it in the UK. We've been saying that for 30 years. So 27 years ago, I worked on celery rigs at Barway. And at that point, there were 16 UK employees, short-term staff, and they had advertised in every single job centre throughout the whole country, and they'd ended up with 16 out of a couple of hundred. It's just, you know, it's the reality of life.
Well, we've got lots of examples from last year, and, you know, 70 furloughed staff working for me last year, and within a few months I had 6 or 7 left. You know, if you seasonal work is not what people live in Britain need, they need permanent roles. But, you know, we are, obviously the lorry drivers are permanent roles, but we're struggling on that front as well.
Yeah. Tim, are you getting the feeling that I'm getting of deja vu in the respect to the broadcast that we did last week with John Lucy from the RHA Road Haulage Association, that there's this clamour for government to wake up? Tim, we're in a crisis now. Would you duplicate the views of Derek and Mark that we do need to see government intervention and bloody quickly?
It's the only thing that can sort this. You know, I think the RHA said we'd like a SAWS scheme, a seasonal agriculture workers scheme for drivers, for lorry drivers. They're lobbying for a return to HGV driving scheme. So, as you know, HGV licences lapse if you've not used them for so long, but there's maybe a lot of people out there that they could bring back in. But, you know, if there was some kind of fast track from the government, I'll tell you what the government do need to fast track, HGV tests, if they could just put some priority on that. Can you imagine an industry where you rely on this constant flow of people. And this is where lorry driving, I'm sorry to go back to lorry driving, because I know we've got problems throughout the sector, pack our staff and everything else, Terry, you're absolutely right, agricultural staff everywhere, we've got problems everywhere. But my issue with lorry driving, it's that last leg of the journey, and if that doesn't happen, it doesn't get there. And it's no short fix. You're talking 3 to 6 months, I say, minimum for things to filter through. And you haven't had anybody tested for about 12 months. So that they reckon that's about 20 to 25,000 lorry drivers that should be in the system in normal terms that are out. They reckon we're about 70 to 75,000 lorry drivers short. Now, goods aren't going to get to the shops, but, you know, it's not just our... We talk about produce, but I've heard it in dairy and cheeses, but I've heard it right across the card in food. But I'm also hearing about it in steel and aggregates, yeah, and big building projects like HS2 being held up because they haven't got aggregates. They're waiting for aggregates and they're waiting for steel. And, I mean, can you imagine the cost on these sort of projects when they get held up and the inflation it causes and the cost that it causes right throughout the system? It's huge. So we need like a source scheme immediately and a decent amount of visas being thrown at that. Return to HGV driving scheme. Prioritise HGV tests. And actually, interestingly, there was an article in the Manchester Evening News that mentioned me for some reason, because I've been banging on, but it was more about a company in Manchester who had proposed to the government about putting retired army staff through their, because the army has their own HGV scheme, and getting people from the army or ex-army through army training. In other words, bring in the army, get the army involved. And do you know what? That's the sort of thing you get in a crisis. Derek said it. Mark said it.
Yeah.
We are in crisis.
And you look back at the start of the injection campaign. Who do we have standing up next to Boris? Can't remember his name, but a man in military fatigues. We are the army. We're going to get this sorted. And by golly, they did get it sorted. So Tim, actually, your idea about deploying the army to assist on the logistics side is a very good one.
Mark. And the army can do it. If you remember the petrol crisis of a few years ago, the army had fully trained HGV drivers ready to go to move petrol tankers. Mm. Well, to me, this is as critical as petrol tankers. Yes, come on, the army, come to the help.
Well, the army can offer support in terms of HGV drivers and training, because they've got their own training facilities. And by God, we need training at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So everyone, I do think we need to be pretty alarmist here to get the notice of the media that are dialed into this, the trade and people externally, and hopefully the government. So on this basis of being alarmist, what do you think is going to happen next if nothing changes? Derek, what's going to happen next?
I'm afraid it's going to slowly keep getting worse, I think, over the next few months. We're on all fronts, really. And I think, you know, it's already been alluded to by Mark, you know, lines getting delisted. And I think that will continue. Some of the niche lines will get delisted because we'll have to focus on the core. So I think it is going to get worse for the whole industry.
Okay. And retailers, we haven't spoken about them yet. Do you think that they're looking to lobby government upstream because they can see the issue that's happening within the supply chain, Mark?
Well, they have to be. I mean, it's their business. I was in two major retailers at the weekend. I tend to pop in on a Saturday to have a look and see what our products are looking like. And the shelves were empty, not empty, but bare. And this was early in the morning. Purely anecdotal, but bag salads, there were very few. And that was right at the start of the day. And I think the retailers need to come to the party as well and start sharing some of their numbers. Yeah, you know, once you get alarmist and you start having an open, one of the major retailers breaks cover and says, you know, we have got 20% short on this product and it's losing us X million a day, then the numbers will speak for themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're absolutely right. You need one of them to break cover, don't you? And it's always the way, because I know that Daily Mail's guy said to me that we asked BRC for comment. I mean, does the BRC ever come out with anything other than vacuous nonsense? You know, I mean, it's just one of those holding statement jobs. They don't say anything controversial, and they do not say anything controversial, because it was a usual, well, we got a few issues, but all our members are desperately trying to fulfill the shelves to keep all the consumers happy. And just, you know, I'm hearing every day, one of the biggest hauliers to the retailers in the UK told me this kicked off about mid-April. We started ringing customers
in mid-April to say, we haven't got wheels to go under that load. And he said, it builds and it builds. And you start rolling one or two lows and you're getting bollocked up hill and down dale for that. And then you get up to 10 lows and then you get in the dozens. And he said, we are now rolling for the retailers hundreds of loads per day. So don't look at me in the IBRC or any of the retailers and tell me you're not having trouble. You are.
Yeah.
Can one of you please break cover? And because you'll do far better than a gobby kit like me. You'll get far more attention. Yeah. And if they could break cover and put some numbers on this, Mark, you're right. Put some numbers on it. This means we have gone. I mean, I heard some disasters on milk, you know, 100 lorries short of milk over the weekend for one retailer, or that didn't go, that should have gone on Sunday, that probably got rolled for Monday or Tuesday. That must have led to shortages on shelves.
It must have led for that milk being chucked down the drain because the cows don't stop.
Yeah.
So, you know, the wastage as well. And that really, you know, we've got amazing British produce that is going to be thrown away. It's going to be ploughed back in. Tim has already said there are loads going to landfill. It's morally wrong as well as commercially suicidal.
It's morally bankrupt, isn't it? We just need to raise the issue. It shouldn't be us sat here raising the issue. If one retailer broke cover and said, this is what it's costing me, this is what's happening,
yeah,
the press would be all over it like a rash. And then hopefully the government get the backside into gear.
But the problem as well, I mean, we flagged this a while ago, and as a business, so late last year, we recognised that labour was tightening quite hard. And we've invested significantly in our factory in Corby in order, not necessarily for efficiency, but just to drop the number of people we have to employ. And we were in contact with our MP, and we had a response from the Minister of Future Borders and Immigration, a great title, who told us that it was our industry employment practices which were to blame.
Ah, really?
If you've got people in government who really believe that the food industry employment practices are the problem here, then we've got a problem. And the government need to really get their hairnets on, come down to our factories, see the reality of the situation. Go into your supermarket. Go in and do your weekly shop, see the empty shelves, see that you can't get the products that you want. Maybe we'll get some action, but it has got to be government driven. We can't do this as an industry.
Yeah.
Okay, so gentlemen, I'm just going to reinforce that statement again. Four missed meals from anarchy. If the voters aren't getting fed, government, you're going to have an issue on your hand. And I just want to emphasize the fact, just so it's rough figures, the three gentlemen that we got here, they account for nearly £1 billion worth of UK fresh produce turnover. So they've got the expertise, the knowledge, the understanding behind them. So you need to listen to them. We are in the middle of a food crisis. They're stating it is only going to get worse. They need to see action, and they need to see action now. Gentlemen, can you just conclude this, hopefully with some positivity as to what you would like to see now, or what the positives may be from this 2-3 years down the line? Jarrett, you go first.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think, you know, the one thing we haven't mentioned, first of all, is that if the situation doesn't ease, we are going to see some significant food inflation.
Yeah.
That will come. And the range will shrink, because, you know, if I suddenly run short of labour next week and literally can't harvest all the crops, then it'll be the higher margin crops that I'll keep harvesting, and the more marginal ones will disappear. I think what we need going forward, we need government support on this to help unblock the logjam of getting people in to do some of this work. We also need to be, you know, encouraging British workers into this sector. We're involved in lots of projects. We've got to be prepared to invest in training for people to encourage them in. I'm always positive. We will get through it. We will come out the other side, and hopefully we'll be stronger for it. We're only just at the beginning of the UK season, so we don't want to give up just yet. You know, we've got a few months ahead of us. The crops are looking fantastic, so let's hope we can unblock this in the next few weeks or few months.
Mm. Derek, thank you. Mark?
I think the positive in the longer term to come out of this you know, the UK has an amazing agritech industry, and these sorts of things, a crisis brings about change. I think we'll see more investment in labour reduction, which means we won't need as many people. And I think this sort of thing drives those decision makers. We've already invested in labour reduction. And as a country, we complain our productivity is low. Well, here we go. Here's an answer, or not an answer, but here's a crisis that means if we can drop 10% of our workforce through investing on labour-saving technology, it increases the overall country's productivity. So maybe some positives will come out of it. But I still can't deliver my wretched mango next week into the retailers.
Wow. Tim?
Derek's absolutely right about inflation, because our industry, we've just had this ridiculous situation where we've had a price war going on with the retailers for at least 10 years, and the price of fresh produce on the shelves just going down and down and down. You know, we've got to drive some inflation back in. We've been moaning about that as an industry, and now it's just going to have to come back in, because, you know, when you've got farmers paying an extra 60% more, we had one grower telling me that, like everybody else, I do one reasonable size pay rise a year. I've done three in the last 6 weeks. Wow. You know, there's got to be some inflation. With regard to a bright side, I was trying to think of a bright side, but actually, better working practices, isn't it? You know, Mark and Derek touched on this, and they're absolutely right. And if you look at transport as an example, stop carting around fresh air. I mean, that's something we need to do. Stop carting around fresh air. I think the customers have got used to this luxury. I mean, probably looking at food service a bit more in some ways, and wholesale, because in fairness to the retails, you tend to be full pallets and tend to be full loads. But, you know, a lot of my customers have got used to 6-7 days a week delivery, and they'll order something, it'll be 120 on a board and they'll order 62, or there'll be 80 on a board and they'll order 43, and you can't really put anything on top. But, you know, reduce the number of deliveries a week, take it down from 6 or 7 down to 3, and, you know, try and get to full pallets, because we do cart around an awful lot of fresh air. So maybe things like that, better working practices, will come out of this. But at the moment, we are in crisis. It's a word that I'm glad all three of us have used, and we do need government support. I'm not talking about financial support. I'm not asking Richie to get his hand in his pockets and give us billions of pounds, by the way. I'm just asking him to give us some support in terms of visas, permits, and some help on HGV tests, maybe get the army involved. Yeah, a seasonal worker scheme, prioritise HGV tests, return to HGV driving scheme. All these things that the government can do, which are relatively inexpensive, to sort out what is a crisis.
Tim, thank you. So, everyone, there's a halcyon call there. We want to see retailers actually step up to the mark and look to lobby government directly, and also come into the supply base and share the facts, share the numbers where they are currently, so that we can look to influence as well. And we want to see assistance, direct assistance from government in this crisis. We gave this call out last week with Tim and John Lucy from the RHA about logistics. We've done it again today with Tim, Derek, and Mark. Anyone on a media perspective, if you want to speak to any of these individuals directly, just get in contact with me directly, or you'll find them on the likes of LinkedIn. Tim's already been picked up by the FT, the Daily Mail, iNews, on the subjects that we were doing next week. This is very important. We just heard that Tim's also been picked up. Did you say, Tim, by Loose Women? So that was a bit of
PMB, yeah. I tell you, the one that I did, Russia Today contacted me, asked if they could do a live TV interview, and I don't think I fancy being poisoned yet, so I'll give that one a skip. But do you know, the one thing we will say before we finish this off is I don't do so much to the retailers, as you know, so maybe I can be a bit more outspoken about them. Is it if one retailer will come forward, please, we'll break cover. We know how you work. You'll tend to sit in the background waiting for somebody to break cover. If one of you can break cover and tell us how bad this crisis is, it'll do more than anything that we can do. Tell us how short you are on your shelves, how bad this crap, because it's affecting you with your lorries as well, not just us as suppliers, your own lorries for delivery to your shops. We know it. I hear about it every day. Please, one of you break cover, tell us how bad it is, and then maybe we can get some government support on this. You'll help us enormously. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well done, Tim. Derek, anything to say to wrap up?
Yeah, I just echo what Tim's just said. And, you know, the important message that the retailers can give government is that, you know, this is going to lead to food inflation. And whatever colour of government we've got, they do not want significant food inflation. So, yeah.
Well said. Mark, over to you to wrap up.
No, I think everyone said it. My only thing is I'm tempted to do a Bob Geldof quote, but you know, we need it now. We need to get your visas out and give us the workers now, not next week, not tomorrow. We need it right now.
Excellent. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
No, we won't go there. Right, well done, Mark.
Well done. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Catch you all soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.